It's just past 7:08 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. My name is Brian Edwards-Tieker. Kat Brooks is on vacation this week and next. And we're going to start with local news this morning. Over the weekend, the San Jose Mercury News broke the story that the Santa Clara District Attorney's Office is implementing a new policy under which it's no longer going to file charges against the vast majority of people who are arrested or cited solely for nonviolent drug crimes at the misdemeanor level. There is an exception if people are arrested or cited more than three times in a year. Joining us to talk about the details, one of the people who worked on that policy, David Angel, is an assistant district attorney of Santa Clara County. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't you explain the nuts and bolts of what the new policy means?
Sure. Well, the nuts and bolts of what the policy actually works is that going forward, if somebody is arrested for a low-level drug crime, so, you know, possession of paraphernalia, possession of most of what we think of recreational drugs, unless they're presenting some sort of public safety problem, and we are roughly defining that as someone who's arrested three times or more in a 12-month period, we are going to just connect them to services but try to keep them out of the criminal justice system altogether.
So how many people would you expect that to, how many people's status would you expect that to change in a year?
Well, we think it's going to be pretty significant. It's always difficult to try to gather good statistics and data, but we did take a look at 2018 data. And let me tell you, that's in part the genesis of the policy, is I was stunned when I ran our own numbers and found in the year 2018, you know, the last year we had complete data, we filed charges in about 7,000 cases for people who had only been arrested for one of these simple possession or under the influence drug charges. And that was either the only charge or there is, you know, it might have had another minor misdemeanor attached to it, but nothing with a public safety profile. 7,000 cases in 1 year, and that represented 5,000 distinct individuals roughly. Now, I then looked at the data more closely because you might think, well, perhaps these are all hardcore addicts who are being arrested over and over again. So I said, well, how many of these people have been arrested for a drug crime within a 12-month period, thinking that they might, you know, it might be someone arrested 30, 40 times. In fact, I found that almost 4,000 of them had not been arrested for any other drug crime within a 12-month period. And what that told me is that we were focusing our attention improperly on people who, you know, look, they might have a health problem. Obviously, using drugs is these sort of illegal drugs can be bad for your health, but they weren't really a public safety problem, and they might not even really be addicts as opposed to recreational drug users, which, again, it's not like I think that's a good idea, but we thought bringing the criminal justice system down to bear on people like that made little sense. So I think it might affect quite a number of people.
Well, if the rationale is that this is a public health problem, not a crime problem, then why draw the line at being rearrested three times? Isn't someone who's a chronic drug user or an addict just someone with more of a health problem than someone who's only getting arrested once?
Well, that's a fair question, and we're going to, of course, monitor the situation, and this is a first step, so we might have to adjust the criteria. But the logic goes roughly like this. We all know that if you have a chronic addiction problem, that at some point it becomes out of control, and that can begin to bring other significant, that just does tend to associate with other public safety problems and quality of life problems. And we have drug treatment courts that are largely collaborative, focused on treatment and recovery instead of incarceration. We think for those people, that might be a very good idea at helping them bring them back to some sort of stability in their life. What we don't want to do is put the overwhelming majority of people in it for whom we think that it's probably not a necessary intervention. But look, over time, if we discover that we can move that number up or down, then we'll certainly do so. But we thought this was a good start, which will, we anticipate, apply to about 90% of the people who have been arrested.
So, like, spell this out in detail to me. This is coming out of your office, the district attorney's office. I presume this is not by any agreement with the police. So if you were caught doing drugs, you might be arrested, handcuffed, booked, and then released, you know, a couple days later after the DA's office says we're not going to press charges. Is that what it looks like under the new regime?
No, and in fact, that's not even what it looks like under the old regime. There's been a real change in California, and I would say for the better, over the last decade or so in the way we handle drug crimes. So at least what happens in Santa Clara County now, for all the drug crimes that I'm talking about, remember, in Santa Clara County, we have 13 different law enforcement agencies. So, of course, they're all going to have slightly different policies. But what remains consistent is when somebody is arrested for one of these drug crimes, first of all, bear in mind, it's very rare that the police are actually investigating a drug crime when they arrest someone for something like this. Almost invariably, they're investigating something different. So, for example, they get a call to service because there's a car that they believe has been stolen. They stop someone thinking that's the person. It's not them, but they find, drugs on them. And then that gets written up. That's almost invariably how people are caught. So what happens now is the police cite them. So they, write them a ticket, essentially, a citation. They seize the drugs. They give them the citation and tell them to come to court on a certain date that's written on the citation. Then they come to court, they're charged, presuming the evidence supports the charge. And then it goes through the very onerous process of the criminal justice system, which, let me say, as a career prosecutor, I truly believe we need all the due process and time that is attendant to the criminal justice system. But that doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you're talking about a case like this. So what happens is you're assigned a public defender. Then there will be at least one or two more court dates before you, enter a plea. If the plea is not guilty, then you might may or may not have a suppression motion. Then after that, you'd have more negotiations, eventually a settlement, and then they'd be diverted into treatment. Well, I mean, that can easily take 1 or 2 years. No one thinks it's a good idea to wait 1 or 2 years before getting someone into treatment. Okay, so that's the current system. Under the proposed system, when somebody is arrested and the police see, the drugs, they would seize them. They would write the citation. The citation would come to our office. What we will then do is contact the person and then send a companion letter to the public defender and to the Department of Behavioral Health, which in our county handles drug treatment. Essentially, connecting those persons to services right away. Then when they come to court, instead of having to plead to a charge or find a lawyer, they will just be referred directly to services again. And so this way we really get two bites at getting people connected to the help that they want that they can then take advantage of. But we're really not going to get involved in their affairs beyond that. In other words, we hope they get connected to treatment in the way that they think is appropriate. But unless they become a public safety problem or, like I said, repeatedly get arrested, we're not going to pull them through the system.
What about people caught with minor drug possession who are on probation or parole?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's going to have to be a case-by-case basis. The parole system, of course, is totally separate. It's a state-run system. Most of the time, in my experience, probation and parole follow the lead of what the district attorney does. So if we're not filing charges, I hope what they would do is intervene appropriately, meaning, if they have a person and prior drug use was connected to their crimes they committed before, which is often the case, they're connected, I hope they'll intervene in some appropriate way. But if what we're worrying about is people being remanded into custody, I think that's unlikely to happen. And frankly, it doesn't really happen much now. And that's the other thing to bear in mind. The reality is our system now does not really take seriously these sorts of charges. And I don't think, and neither does the DA, we don't think that's a bad thing. We understand why it doesn't take it seriously. But if it's not going to take it seriously under the current system, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense then to charge people with a crime.
Yeah. We're speaking to the Assistant District Attorney of Santa Clara County, David Angel, who worked on a new policy that was announced this weekend that is going to lead to a dramatic reduction in the number of misdemeanor drug crimes that his office charges. Basically, if you are arrested and cited for drug possession at the misdemeanor level, and only drug possession, not in combination with any other crimes, unless it's your third offense in a year, you almost certainly will not be getting prosecuted for it. I want to talk about how this is going over. You're law enforcement. You have to work with police on bigger prosecutions. When the issue of decriminalizing drugs comes up, there's often a lot of pushback from police agencies, from police unions. You see a lot of cops and prosecutors say, you know, sometimes the minor charge is the only one that we can prove when we're trying to get a serious criminal off the street. Have you experienced much pushback in your circles?
You know, I've been very pleasantly surprised to find that, no, we haven't really gotten a lot of pushback. I think it's fair to say that not everyone agrees with us on this approach, but we have a very good collaborative relationship. And look, the reality is when I'm talking to police chiefs and I presented this idea to our 13 police chiefs last Thursday, Chief Garcia of San Jose Police Department really embraced the idea. When I talked to our narcotics prosecutor, they really embraced the idea because, look, there's a difference between serious drug crimes, which, you know, really can be in a problem in our community, you know, cartels, gangs, organized crime, people with guns, but those are a small numerical minority of the cases we have, and they're being swamped out by really just regular people who are struggling with what's, in the end of the day, probably a personal health problem. I think a lot of people who are in the trenches dealing with that have realized over time the futility of the traditional approach.
So what about the people who, you know, in previous years have gotten prosecuted for things that would not be prosecuted under this new policy, and as a consequence are carrying a criminal record with them that's making it harder for them to get jobs, public housing, any number of benefits? Is your office going to be doing any work to go back and expunge records?
You know, that's a good question, too. So I should say we just announced the policy and we're implementing it this summer. And so there's questions like this, but we just really haven't totally grappled with yet. But I think the answer should be, of course. We already have a very robust system in our county of allowing people to come back in or even just automatically clearing records and expunging records. And in fact, I was just meeting with a colleague of mine from the public defender's office last week to see what we could do to make that happen more efficiently. There certainly be no reason not to sweep that up into it. Now, I will say most people who had previously been convicted were already eligible for record clearances. So I don't think there'll be any barrier to doing that.
Well, you're going to be freeing up some staff time in your office if you are pressing 7,000 fewer charges per year.
Well, that's certainly the hope. I mean, the idea is, as I said, there's some very serious public safety problems, and we want to be able to put the staff power to address that. And these other issues, we want to be able to move more to the public health and behavioral health system. And let me add, this shouldn't cost any more money because we're not asking behavioral health to do anything they weren't doing before. It just before, it was, in our opinion, in the DA's opinion, backwards, right? We would arrest the person, but we wouldn't really talk about their healing and their rehabilitation until 1 or 2 years later. All we're doing now is flipping it and saying, let's talk about rehabilitation and healing at the beginning and only bring the criminal justice system in if there ends up being a chronic health problem.
David Angel, have you done any modeling or forecasting on when this is fully phased in, how much it might drop the Santa Clara County jail count?
You know, that's really difficult to say because on the whole, these individuals were not going to jail before. So it's not going to have an immediate effect on the jail numbers.
I mean, however, they weren't going to jail while awaiting trial.
Exactly. These sorts of cases, it was very rare for anyone to be in jail on a low-level drug case at all. However, rare, when you're talking about large numbers, doesn't mean zero. So, for example, something that was very common, or, you know, more common than we'd like, is somewhere along the process, the defendant, because many of them have kind of chaotic lives and a lot of challenges, well, they don't show up to court. Then they don't show up to court again. Well, what's going to happen? Then they're going to have a warrant issued for them. Then they're going to be arrested. Well, even if they're released within 1 or 2 days on their arrest, well, that's still, you know, let's just imagine it's 10% of 5,000 people who will now not be arrested because of bench warrant's not going to go out for them. So I don't think it's going to have a direct effect on the jail numbers, meaning people are not going to jail for their sentence. But I suspect it will have an indirect and not insignificant effect on reducing the jail population. And of course, for people like this, there's very little good that happens for going to jail for 1 or 2 days. I mean, all that it really does is
1 or 2 days
who had a job lose it.
Yeah, 1 or 2 days is long enough for a lot of people to lose their jobs. That's all the time we have. David Angel, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Okay, thank you.
David Angel is Assistant District Attorney for Santa Clara County. He's the person in that office who developed a new policy. It was announced this weekend and exclusive in the San Jose Mercury News. It's the most aggressive drug charging reform to come out of any district attorney's office in the state of California. Basically, the county will no longer be filing criminal charges against the vast majority of people arrested or cited solely for possessing misdemeanor quantities of illegal drugs. That takes us to 7:24 in the morning. The program's up front. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiegert. We're going to move from the local to the national, to the presidential campaign trail.